Today, we give you a conversation from our storied Monitor Breakfast series, in which a presidential hopeful shares his thoughts on moving America forward. We juxtapose that with an update on how the first year of Trump 2.0 has stirred concerns in Europe of financial and political instability. The Supreme Court considers the case of a Federal Reserve Board member whom President Donald Trump wants to remove. And in China, blue-collar workers wonder when they can retire. We end with ingenuity and gratitude in Nigeria. Our writer, Violet Igong, introduces us to a man whose creativity helped build a shelter for repatriated male immigrants who were previously shunned after being returned home. Now, they get temporary housing and learn marketable skills that will add value to the world. Please enjoy all of these stories. It's Thursday, January 22nd. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Ira Porter. First, our curation of news briefs from our staff writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. Stocks rebounded after President Donald Trump assured the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland on Wednesday that he would not use force to acquire Greenland. He called for negotiations and reiterated his view that U.S. control of the Arctic island is very important for national and international security. European Union leaders suspended a July trade deal following Mr. Trump's pledge to impose tariffs on nations that oppose his demand. Stocks had fallen as pressure over Greenland rose. Lawmakers in Colombia will lose their bonus payments in response to frustration over economic inequality. President Gustavo Petro issued a decree this week to cut monthly pay from about $13,000 to roughly $9,400 starting in July. The move comes amid a budget crunch and weeks after the government approved a 23% minimum wage increase. Most Colombians earn $500 or less a month. Also, an Indian construction worker in Romania is being honored after saving a 5-year-old girl who fell through ice on a frozen lake. Vipin Kumar jumped into the freezing water without hesitation and held the child until rescuers pulled them both out. City officials in Craiova say Mr. Kumar, who has a young daughter of his own in India, will be named an honorary citizen and granted a residence permit, praising his act of courage and humanity. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. Money matters have driven foreign policy throughout history, but President Donald Trump's oil moves in Venezuela may hint at a new era of unapologetic grabs for economic power, causing growing resentment even among allies. Laurent Belsey reports for The Monitor. A majority of Supreme Court justices appeared skeptical of President Donald Trump's attempt to remove a member of the Federal Reserve Board, given the central bank's importance to the U.S. economy. Henry Gass reports for The Monitor. With an eye on his own possible presidential run, former Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel tells a Monitor breakfast that fellow Democrats need to show voters a viable path for addressing economic issues like affordable health care, education, and housing. Sophie Hills reports from Washington for The Monitor. To support its rapidly aging population and preserve its pension system, China is raising its retirement age for the first time in 70 years. At the same time, demand for broader pension reform is growing. Ann Scott Tyson reports from Tangshan, China, for The Monitor. The Patriotic Citizen Initiative's shelter gives male migrants a place to stay when they are deported back to Nigeria. It also helps them rebuild their lives at home. There were shelters for females, the shelter's founder says, but nobody was talking about shelters for young men. Contributor Violet Icon reports from Lagos, Nigeria for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on an alternative path for Trump's revolution. Over the course of the first year of his second term in the White House, Donald Trump's attempts to assert presidential authority over the whole executive branch might well be his defining legacy. If his actions prevail, they would bring a massive reshaping of America's democratic republic. He has fired officials from government positions long presumed to be independent in decision-making. And because Mr. Trump's actions have brought lawsuits, a conservative-leaning Supreme Court seems poised to rule soon that the separation of powers between the three branches of government does allow such a unitary or powerful executive. To many Americans who voted for Mr. Trump, he is merely making good on his electoral legitimacy to fulfill campaign promises. He is altering the policies of the administrative state through the removal of unaccountable government workers deemed to be opposed to the chief executive's vision. A few previous presidents, from Andrew Jackson to Richard Nixon, have assumed similar authority. Such a maximal use of the presidency is seen by Trump backers as a type of accountability to a democracy's ultimate sovereignty, the will of the people as expressed through elections. The Constitution states the United States president is solely charged to take care that the laws be faithfully executed. A feeble executive implies a feeble execution of the government, wrote Alexander Hamilton. To the opponents of a unitary executive, however, both Congress and the courts have put necessary checks on a president's ability to fire career civil servants or meddle in regulatory agencies set up by Congress to tap professional expertise in solving today's complex problems. Agencies also have their own accountability, such as obedience to law. They must listen to public input and provide reasoned justifications for their decisions. There is also a third way, one that is now being practiced in some state governments that have leaned toward allowing stronger governors to shape agency behavior while improving the lines of accountability. According to a report last year by the conservative Manhattan Institute, about 20 states have made reforms since the 1990s that have decentralized hiring capabilities and the resolution of grievances to agency managers, allowed variation in pay-based performance, and made many or almost all state workers to be employed at will. Most observers and researchers agree that state reform's effects have been either positive or, at worst, neutral, says the Institute's report. There have been general reports of improved performance with little evidence of politicization. In Indiana, reforms led to fewer complaints by state employees, and agency performance was up in almost every category, including customer service and teamwork. Rather than being punished or removed, civil servants in any government can be given incentives to change and allowed to face mistakes honestly and learn from failures. Through deliberation and consensus, elected leaders can help career officials through regeneration, not retribution. Fear can be a hindrance to the listening and learning needed to align government in harmonious action. At its best, political accountability relies on humility and patience more than assertions of moral superiority. Many states are adopting such approaches. Gubernatorial administration emerges as a promising vehicle for efficacious governing and a new source of state resilience, wrote Miriam Seifter, a law professor at University of Wisconsin, in a 2017 Harvard Law Review article. States have long been laboratories for new ideas in governance. Yet, despite the decades of evidence, states' reforms have had remarkably little impact on the conversation about the federal civil service, said the Manhattan Institute report. The federal government can and should learn from them. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcast. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how right where it looks as though injustice is inevitable, we can pray to see that God's everlasting justice is actually already in effect. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Mackenzie Farkas, Tim Malone, and Victoria Hoffman.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.